So as I was growing up, my dad was known to be a very good grill master. And he did it all on this little charcoal grill. And before he started, I always wanted to be out there. He would pour the coals in, and then they always had to be in this lovely pyramid shape. And then he would pour the lighter fluid on it, and then the match. It's my favorite part, because everything went up in flames. And I remember him telling me, you wouldn't believe this, but the coals aren't that hot right now. I'm like, yeah, right, Dad, they're flaming. They're flaming hot, they're hot. Well, sure, the fire's hot, but the coals themselves are not that hot. They're much hotter once they have burned and they start to have that heat within them. That's when you put the meat on. And so I learned that lesson. My dad was really good at it. And every time I'd sit up there and I'd watch him and he'd give me the same lesson. And that's my first thought today. When I read the scripture for today, and the angel is taking this burning coal out of the brazier, and they would have had these things burning all the time for incense. They're constantly going. So they're always at that really hot temperature. These are not flaming coals. These are coals that are ready to cook something. And the first thing I thought was, man, that's gotta hurt. To hold that coal to Isaiah's lips. Well, today we have two call stories. The main one is the one about Isaiah. The supporting one is the one of Peter. Now, lots of call stories in the Bible, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, people are being called to do all sorts of things all the time. And there are always excuses as to why they cannot do this thing. Well, I'm not good enough at it. I've never had experience at that. I don't have the particular skills you're looking for. I don't like these people. I don't want to go to Nineveh and tell them that God is angry with them. They better mend their ways. I don't want to do that. Well, it'll never work anyway. Because these people are so stubborn, they won't listen to me anyway. Today in Scripture, two people are called by God. And both of them have the same excuse. I am a sinful person. I am a sinful person. Now, if any of you have watched the series The Chosen, you know that the initial call story of Peter in there is wrapped up with all kinds of things that Peter's doing wrong. He's into a lot of things that he shouldn't be doing. He's trying to support his family. He's desperate, and so he is doing things he shouldn't be doing. And he doesn't trust this guy, Jesus, even though his brother is saying, no, 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 you gotta listen to him. Excuse me. And Peter doesn't trust him. And so Jesus tells him, hey, just put your nets down. Go out there, put your nets down. And Peter's like, yeah, right. It'll never work. It's not gonna happen. But fine, you're so annoying, I'm gonna do it anyway. This is exactly how it comes across in that episode. And so he does that, and pretty soon the boat is just listing over to one side because there are so many fish in that net. And they have to get their friends over, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and they gotta come over and help. And Peter eventually, they get this under control. Peter gets out of that boat, runs up to Jesus on the shore, throws himself at his feet, and starts sobbing. And he says, why? I am a sinful man. And it is such a powerful moment in this series because it speaks to me, to my heart. Why are you blessing me with this opportunity? I am a sinful person. In Isaiah's case, Isaiah is told, he has this vision, and he's told, I need you to go tell my people that trouble's coming. Their world is going to be destroyed. They will be in exile. I'm going to call this nation from far away, and they are going to come in and they are going to destroy them. But I'm going to be with them. And I need you to give this message to them. And what does Isaiah say? He doesn't say, oh, I don't want to do that. He doesn't say, I don't have the skills for that. He doesn't say, it'll never work. He says, I am a man of unclean lips, and you have a people of unclean lips. We're not going to get the message. How can I possibly tell them? I am sinful. How can I give this message? And the angel comes at him with a live coal. A live coal. That's not one that's been flaming. It's one that's done flaming. It's one that is holding a lot of heat in it. It's ready to cook meat. And the angel comes up and puts it up by his mouth and says, your sins have been blotted out. They no longer exist. Because God says, you can give this message. And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. In the case of Peter, Jesus says, don't worry, Peter. I'm a sinful man. Don't worry, Peter. From now on, you're going to catch people. Jesus is that live coal. Jesus has blotted out whatever sin Peter was carrying with him that day. And Jesus says, you are fit to do this task because I make you so. This is what we talked about last week when I gave you the grammar lesson of justification, full justification. Where God justifies the words on the right-hand side and on the left-hand side, and the words in between are all going to be ours, and they're going to be mixed up, and they are going to look funny. But by golly, God's got this at both ends and walks with us in the middle. So God makes these two people today fit for their work, justified for their work. But it's going to hurt. Too often, we hear the following: Jesus makes our lives wonderful. Everything is happy. The prosperity gospel would have us believe that our pure faith and doing all the right things, whatever those are, will result in blessing. And by blessing, they mean wealth, health, and happiness all the time. And if you're not experiencing those things, you're not working hard enough at it. But God is the one who makes us right. And being right with God, being called by God to give this message, is going to hurt. So let's look at what actually happens to the two men in our scripture today. Peter's a fisherman. It's a fairly stable job. It pays okay. It provides for his family. But what does he do? He walks away from all that and he becomes a nomad. He has no home. He becomes poor because he has no income. He has no power. He's no longer part of his community because he's an itinerant preacher going around with this weird guy named Jesus. And so he has no standing within his community any longer. That's all gone. And what does he do? He makes mistakes. He sinks under the water. He doubts his master. He questions all the time. Jesus even has to slap him down a bit and say, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter's got all the wrong ideas. He even betrays his master and says, "I don't know him. I ain't got nothing to do with him." He grieves. He is in fear. That doesn't sound like a lovely life to me. That's gotta hurt. Ultimately, according to tradition, Peter dies on a cross, just like his master. And yet he keeps on. Now Isaiah, in his case, is known as the prophet of the exile. Isaiah has to give this message, this harsh message, to people in power in his community, in his nation. He's got to go to the king and say, "Look, we're not doing things right. This is what God's telling me is going to happen. Let's be prepared for this." Can you imagine going to the White House and saying something like that? First of all, they'd have you off that property pretty dang fast. Secondly, nobody wants to hear that sort of thing. Especially if you're in power, you don't want to hear that kind of thing. But that's the message that Isaiah is given. He's also given the message that this land that God is going to summon to destroy Israel is going to take a whole bunch of them into exile, and they're going to be in exile for a while. And so there'll be a few people left in Israel, and there are going to be a bunch of people in Babylon where they hang up their harps because they can no longer sing the songs of their people. And Isaiah's job in that case, according to God, is comfort. Comfort ye my people. This is where we get so much of the imagery for Advent, because Isaiah is comforting his people that God is near. We also are called. What is our answer? Because when we're called to follow Jesus, it's not into a life of health, wealth, and happiness all the time. We're called to speak truth to power, which is a very, very hard thing to do. It means standing up for those who are oppressed. It means being on the side of those who are marginalized. This is all in Scripture. It means showing mercy and kindness and compassion. And it means fighting hatred with love, no matter what. Difficult things to do. It also means that we are called to endure all of the things that Peter did wrong, all of the things he said, all of the times he really, truly, and metaphorically went underwater, all of the times he betrayed Jesus. He endured through all of that, only to die on a cross. We are to endure when we are laughed at, Because people think, oh, that's so simplistic. When we're made fun of, you're such losers. You don't think for yourselves. Your pastor's telling you exactly what to think. When we are persecuted or attacked, you're so short-sighted. You don't understand. You need to go over there and not bother the rest of us. We need to endure when we are ostracized. Go away. We want nothing to do with organized religion. Our mission, we say it every Sunday, open doors, open hearts, open hands. That doesn't mean that we open doors and expect people to come in. That means that the door goes the other way too, and we go out. Open hearts means that not only do we love people out there, but we need to allow ourselves to be loved as well. And we need to live that way. Which brings us to open hands. This congregation is very good at that. But that means being open to other people, making an impact on us as well. And then using that for God's glory. So it means speaking truth to power. It means enduring. It means persevering. It means trusting that God has held the coal of Jesus' fire to our lips and said, you are fit for this task. My friends, we've proclaimed forgiveness for sin today, and we will do it every Sunday. Every day you are renewed in your baptismal identity. You are made right and fit for your task. Amen.